This is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park. Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. The Reds got their All-Ireland Cup campaign off to an okay start with a point in solitude in the group stages. It stays all square in that group because Wexford and Cork drew 2-2. So, nothing gained, nothing lost. But a frustrating result, I would probably say, in the end. We'll hear from Gemma Quinn with regards to that game. We'll hear from Sean Boyd. We'll hear from Sean Porter. Most of you will know Sean from being one of the two fellas on the pitch with a bib on at the end of the games, recording all your great reactions. There haven't been any heartbreaking reactions yet this season, but look, there's plenty of time for that to happen. That was a long-winded intro. I didn't write anything down. Ben, Adam, could you tell?
No, that was perfect. Adam, what do you mean? That was flawed.
I was about to say, Steve, I've never heard you better in my life.
I'm a bit giddy today because I'm genuinely looking forward to this pod because the three of us are going to give our all-time best First Division 11s. For the Reds, it's pretty vague. Like, do you base it off their performance at the time when they were playing for us? That's what I've gone with. Ben, I know you text me afterwards asking, like, are we going by how good they were with us, or is it by, you know, how good they went on to be? I told you to stick to kind of what I did, Adam. I left you out on your own because then I thought, right, well, definitely I'll have something different then.
Yeah, I think I replied to your message just Jesus and a lot of laughing faces.
Yeah, you did. In fairness, we are just talking there before we start recording. I am a slightly different age to you two. So I remember, I would call them the glory years of the First Division. 08, 09, some really good players there. You two boys, unfortunately, had to endure some dross in that First Division. But we'll get there. We've other business to conduct before that. As I mentioned in the intro, we may as well start with the first game, the opening game of the All-Ireland Cup. 1-1 draw in solitude. Ben, solid enough start on paper?
Yeah, I think, look, when you look at the squad that was put out, there was a lot of youth in the squad, a little bit of rotation. So I think to start off with just the point and kind of steady on, I suppose it is a good start. It's good to get minutes in some bodies. Obviously, we'll hear from Gemma Quinn later, but it's great to see her on the score sheet, especially considering the cameo against Sligo. It was, you know, there was a lot of chances there and you knew that goal was coming, so it's kind of good to see her up and running, and hopefully that's the start of her banging in a few for the season. Adam, what you reckon?
Yeah, no, I kind of echo what Ben says. What I liked about what Gemma said is she sounds like they're frustrated at the end of the game. I think that's a good sense of being. It means, you know, they want to up the standards, etc. And I think that's a good sign, is that they were frustrated. And I think the last two games is Cork and Wexford, isn't it? So they're very two winnable games, you'd imagine, for Shell. So, I think onwards and upwards from here.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and try and talk for Gemma. Let's hear from the great Gemma Quinn now.
Hey everyone, Gemma here from the senior ladies team. Just going to talk a little bit about how I think our game went against Cliftonville in the All-Ireland Cup on Sunday. You know, I think for the first 25 minutes we dominated the game, dominated possession, played very well. I think in the final third we kind of lacked that conviction. And I think, you know, we could have put the game to bed very early. And I just think, you know, that's something that we really need to improve on. You know, we allow them back into the game. And I think, like, if we had put those couple of chances away, that the game would have been dead and buried. But, you know, it's just something to take from the game and to learn from it. But, like, I was happy, really, really happy to get onto the score sheet. It's a first start for me this season. Very happy to get onto the score sheet. And, you know, hopefully that will continue now for the rest of the season. But like coming up now, we've got a big game on Saturday against Athlone. The buzz around the place is actually, you know, it's really, really good. Getting everybody in training this week. The lads will go through, you know, the game of Cliftonville and what we can improve on. And then obviously how we're going to set up on Saturday. And we'll go through different tactics on what the best way to play is and how we set up. And, you know, for our group, for the group of girls that we have, the squad that we have, I think, you know, we're going to be challenging this year for everything. And I think these games, you know, against Athlone, the big teams in the league are really, really important, especially this early on in the season, that we kind of establish our mark that, you know, we're looking to kind of be the ones to beat this season. And I truly believe that we do have that squad, you know. Like, whoever starts on Saturday, the starting 11, like, we have players that will come in and slot into positions that are just as strong as the players that are starting. And, you know, I think that could be the big difference this year and in terms of, you know, how strong our squad actually is. So, like, it's very, very important that when, like, you get your chance that you're taking. And that's why I was really happy on Sunday that when I got the start that I was able to put the goal away. And as I said, I'm just hoping that it continues on this year. But, you know, I took a little knock on Sunday. So, you know, I didn't train Monday. So I'm hoping now that everything will get sorted and that I can go back training Wednesday and be able to, like, give 100% and hopefully be an option this week to either start or come on and make an impact, you know. As I said, I think these games are really, really important. I think it's really, really important to establish our place, especially this early on in the season. And yeah, I think everybody's really, really looking forward to this Saturday and, you know, let's see how we can get on.
Gemma Quinn there, the goal scorer on Sunday in the All-Ireland Cup game away to Cliftonville. Tidy finish, Ben. Very, very tidy finish at the front post. They're ones that can easily fly over. You can scuff them into the floor. Gemma's probably one, I'd say, could be a little bit frustrated last season with her game time. I know she didn't start the cup final, and she kind of mentioned there about needing to get in there and take her chance early. I always just find watching Gemma Quinn, she's something totally different. Seeing her for the goal and P-mount, she just out-muscles the opposition. Slides the ball down the side, it ends up in the net. It was definitely a cross, by the way. Kerry Lettman. A few people have told me, yeah, she's not getting away with that. It was a definite cross, so let's just fix that one up now. But how big a role, lads, do you think Gemma Quinn could play for the Reds this year?
Oh, yeah, massive role. I think she's had a few injury problems, hasn't she, in the past. And whenever she plays, she applies herself with 100% commitment and, you know, runs the legs off herself. And when she gets in front of the goal and she gets a chance, you know, you would expect her to take it. There's a lot of youth there this season as well, as we know, coming up through the ranks. And I think she's going to be there to help them move along too. And I think she's going to play a massive role. And I think, you know, the Shell side could win it all this season, really. So I think she's going to be at the forefront of it, hopefully.
Well, that was the next question I was going to ask you is, with this All-Ireland Cup, it's like, you know, there's no League Cup, obviously, on the women's end. It's obviously the FAI Cup, there's the league. Is there a danger, Ben, of this getting in the way of the league campaign and the cup campaign in terms of, you know, how do you approach those games? Do you, you know, rest players in it kind of the way most people would with a League Cup? Or are you in the mold of, no, it's a tournament or it's a competition, get out and try and win it?
Yeah, I think with the squad, and I think especially what Gemma said, they're ambitious. Like, they're not going to look at something and say that's not worth our time or that's not worth our effort. I think they will give 100%, and I think it is another thing that they can go for, another thing they can win. Like, if you look at even the starting lineup, like, it's a rotated squad, but it's not a particularly young squad. Like, there's a lot of experience in that squad, and I think that shows the ambition of going out, getting points and getting wins and going for this tournament, because again, it is something to win. So I think the ambition is there for the squad. I think Gemma said it herself, look, the goal is to compete for everything, win it all. So yeah, I don't see why they wouldn't want to push on and go for something. I think the squad are definitely there and the ambition is there in them.
Yeah, Gemma mentioned the squad there about, you know, players needing to come up when they're needed, and having to use all those bodies to get the most out of the season. Guys, like you say there, it was a rotate squad, but it's not, you know, I think last year it would have looked very different. You might have looked at the starting 11 and gone, yeah, it's fairly, you know, the difference in the quality is probably dipped a little bit. But when you look at like the bench, some of the players on that bench on Sunday, Kiva Keane and Leah Doyle, Alex Cavan, Noel Murray, Jess Gargan, like they're on the bench. And then when you skip to the starting 11, you go, geez, it's not really all that weakened by the bodies that come in. Pearl obviously stayed in there. If ever somebody wanted to sum up Pearl Slattery and what she kind of gives you and offers you in a game, I don't know whether you're seeing. When I tell you this was like a Roberto Carlos-esque shot, and when I watch back the highlights, it's going straight in. I mean, there's no doubt it's going in, and it kind of flies past the keeper. And I was going, geez, I must have missed a goal here. Pearl just takes it straight in the mush. When I tell you, like, straight in the head, it just bit, the camera goes so quickly that you kind of just see her head bouncing back up, and it goes over the crossbar, and then she just starts laughing. I probably, like, that's...
Yeah, if there was that's ever sums
yeah, up. Of course, yeah. That's a Shell's captain. Everything you want kind of wrapped up in one. As we said, look, it's a solid enough start, a point away from home. Probably know more about the two teams that we still have to play. That's Cork and Wexford. So it's probably one of those, just part of it, move on. And like the tough games keep coming. Rematch of last season's cup final at Lone. It's an away game, 7 o'clock kickoff in the Lone Town Stadium. Adam, these are the kind of games, and Gemma alluded to it there, they're big, big games against good, solid teams. The standard's going up every year, but it's a tough one going down there, isn't it?
Yeah, look, Athlone are going to provide a big test for the Shell side. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The cup final last year was a good outlier for it as well, and look, there's been a lot of change in the Shell side since then, so you would imagine that they're going to go in all guns blazing, right up front. Look, I don't think there's any reason we can't go down there and get a result, especially given how we've played so far this season. But yeah, it will be a big test, and I think Shells will look to give them a good hiding because of what happened in the cup final. And look, after that win against Piemont a couple of weeks ago, you would expect Shells to have their tails up and go for a win.
Yeah, I'd probably bend now look at it as trying to build momentum in those league games. Like the draw against Sligo, I think everyone was a bit disappointed with that. We heard from the staff and from the players after it all seemed a bit frustrated. Quite happy with the performance, but not the result. Probably so important early in the season to get that momentum, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's massive. I think like one game can make or break your season. I'm not saying this is it by any means, but I think it is important to start getting those 3 points, kind of getting a consistent 11 where you can, you know, build that chemistry and go on. Like, I know a lot of the bones of this squad have been together, but there is a lot of young players coming up and they are taking their chances. I think it's just about it all coming together. And I think once it all comes together, your results start rolling in. So, look, I think it is a massive fixture. I think it's a big game, but every game is a big game. And I think that's the way they're treating it. That's the way it seems like they're treating it. Even just from this season, like, mentality wise, they're just up for everything. Like they felt, I think it's maybe hard done by last year, like they fell short of, I think, their goals, and this year it just seems like they're kind of out for blood, really. They're up for everything, and you can see that when they play. So I'm really looking forward to the game. I think it'll be a great game, and I think it'll be a 3 points for the Reds.
I tend to agree. I have to excuse myself for the second week in a row for not looking at details properly. It's a 7:30 kickoff. That's me and my slapdash. I won't write that down, sure I'll remember it. 7:30 in away game. It's against Athlone. It's in the Athlone Town Stadium. Usual rules apply. If you can't travel, it'll be live on LOI TV. Give the girls all the support you can, because it's not beyond the realms of possibility for double there. So get out there while you can and enjoy it. Another successful weekend in our academy, it has to be said. Men's under-19s team didn't play. I presume that's due to the international break. It's probably bodies away. Women's under-19s had a solid result. It was a 1-1 draw away to Finn Harps. Difficult, difficult journey. I've had to do it myself a few times. It's very difficult to get off that bus and get yourself motoring up there. So you probably, most teams will take a point away there all day. Our women's under 17 side had a 3-1 win against Dundalk, and our men's under 17 side with a 6-1 demolition at Derry. So, as I say, FAI Connect is our best stop for those fixtures. The FAI Connect app, it's easy to navigate. It's clear, gives clear information on venue and kickoff time. So if you are free on either weekends, get yourself onto the FAI Connect app, check those underage fixtures and get yourselves out and watch, because most of the time, one or two of those bodies are going to end up in a senior squad within a couple of years anyway. So it's always good to go out and get a look early doors. So we have a double header, a triple header this weekend. We've obviously got Dundalk at home Friday, Athlone away Saturday for the women's team, and we're back in Talk again on Monday to play Derry. That's a 5 o'clock kickoff. Ben, how many points are we going to get
from all three fixtures?
Yes.
That's 9, surely.
Adam, what are we saying?
I'm going to go 7.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I don't know why, but I'm going wins Friday, Saturday, and a draw on Monday. Yeah, that's probably looking ahead. Like, I know Boydie mentions it when we hear from him about, you know, taking it one game at a time. But this Dundalk one, on paper, it's probably the perfect game to come back after a week off to go into. But at the same time, I'm sure Stephen O'Donnell has those lads wound up to bits with the, call a spade, terrible start they've had. As it is the kind of games now that really, you know, we'll see what we're made of here with a game like this at home.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I think these next few days are going to kind of be the making of our season, whether, you know, we suppose come out unbeaten and you're still going for a title, or, you know, even a loss of one or two of the games, it's not going to affect us that much. But I remember last year's game in Talca between Shells and Dundalk, Stephen O'Donnell keeping his team in Talca nearly an hour and a half afterwards. So
yeah,
I'd imagine he's going to want to be up for this. He's going to the league leaders. He's going to want to lay down a marker. I don't know how successful they're going to be, but they will definitely give Shells a game. But I would still fancy Shells ever so slightly in this one.
Ben, would you go as far as to say, you know, if you're really... I know the players and the staff aren't saying it, but we're allowed to say it. We've been miserable for long enough. We're allowed to dream. Like, are these the kind of games that if, you know, if you actually think you're going to be able to contend for a title, you need to be putting the likes of Dundalk away?
I think if you're contending for a title, you need to be looking at putting every team away. I think the lads have echoed it as well. Like, you take each game as they come. But this game is one, like, I know everyone says you can't look past anyone. Any team can beat any team on their day. But when you look at the start we've had and the start Dundalk have had, like, yeah, they'll come out, they'll be chomping at the bit, but we should also be the same. I think we should be coming out and, like, this kind of one of those markers, as you say, that where you come out and you dispatch a team like this. Hopefully, that's what I'm hoping for. And, you know, as you said, dare to dream.
My thing would be, these lads haven't won a game yet, so you would expect them to be on the floor in terms of their confidence. There's been loads of, you know, I think he done his dressing room trick there the week before last as well, with keeping players in. And yeah, like, I don't know, it's stuff like that. Surely that wears off. Like, I know our manager has talked about it before, that, you know, players don't react to that anymore. It's not, you know, we're not in Dermot Keely era of, you know, going in, offering lads out for a scrap or anything like that at half time anymore. That's all gone. It's, you know, they need instruction. And I certainly thought that last game in Talca, they didn't get any instructions. The players didn't. It was all just, come on, run harder, like that. I don't know. I would expect us to have a bit too much for them, even tactically. Like, I think we could kind of suffocate them early doors. I think a strong start, a quick start, and I think we could blow them away just because they are struggling and confidence isn't great. But the longer the game goes on, if, you know, if we have a slow start and we're a bit sloppy and slow to get up to the speed of the game, you give them something to hold on to, you start making it really awkward for yourself. You could be relying on late drama, which nobody wants, let's be honest. So It is. It's one of those dodgy ones. You know, on paper, yeah, it should be 3 points. And as you say, Ben, like people obviously, oh, well, you can't, you know, just look at the league table and go off that. But realistically, I wouldn't go as far as to say if we don't win the game on Friday, and you may forget about winning league titles, but it's a game we should be winning, definitely with the start we've had anyway. But then I was thinking about this during the week. Are we going to end up a victim of like the Kevin Doherty syndrome, in that our own high standard will end up being a kind of downfall? Like, are we overachieving at the moment? Like, top of the league by 5 points. Is that an overachievement? And are we now kind of aiming too high?
No, absolutely not. I don't think so. I think if you speak to anyone on the staff, any of the players, like, they're aiming for as high as they can go. And, you know, from the start, there's no reason this squad couldn't achieve the highest of the high. So, no, I don't think that's complete waffle. I'm sorry, Doody.
Yeah, I agree with Ben as well, actually, strangely enough. I think the squad's looking really, really good, and we're playing so well that it's only natural to kind of feel as though we can achieve something.
Adam, what do you mean, strangely enough, you agree with me? You sound like a bad opinion.
Would I ever say that, Ben?
Am I going to have to take you outside for a knock? Is that where this is going? Are we going back to that?
I mean, the Royal Rumble chat was last week. The Royal Rumble chat was last week.
I'm amazing I missed that as well, by the way. Mark Coyle wins the Royal Rumble for me. But no, I think, I don't know, Steve, I'd agree with Ben on this one.
Then, you know, you go into, hopefully, look, it's 3 points, a nice 3-0 win or something on Friday. And then you're going into this one then. So I'll give you a scenario here. Now, I might have been saying about getting ahead of ourselves, but if we were to obviously win on Friday, Derry are at home to Galway. You would probably expect Derry to win the game, but Galway, awkward customers, as we've seen. Like, you could be 8 points clear of Derry going to play, obviously hosting them on Monday. Like, that's not beyond the realms of possibility. Like, do you start getting nervous at that stage, Ben?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just, look, we as fans can get nervous, but I think we're always nervous. But I think, like, the players echo it every time they're spoken to, and it is just a game-by-game thing, and I think that's the way they're taking it. I don't think they're looking too far ahead. I think it is a case of where, yeah, we'll get our results, we'll take our points, and see where we end up at the end of the year. And I think that's probably the correct mentality to have, really. Like, I think, you know, if you start looking too far ahead of yourself, you could get burned.
It's still very early doors as well. I think we have to remember that. Like, there's no use being 8 points clear of Derry, what, 8 games into a season. You'd want that at the end of the season. So, I think, yeah, maybe not get ahead of ourselves, but there definitely is scope for this team to achieve things this season, I think.
I just look at it, right, and so it's 5 points now. Just say after Tuesday, like say Tuesday morning, we all wake up and you're 8 points clear of Derry. Like, teams don't generally go on big mad winning runs in this league. It doesn't, you know, mostly people are dropping points, and the points tally for winning leagues has been quite low the last couple of years. I would just hate after, like, Friday's game especially, to look back, you know, in kind of September, October, if we've fallen away a bit and been going, oh, we shouldn't have bleeding drawn that game with Dundalk, or imagine if we had a beaten Dundalk. Like, there was loads of those games last year where at the end of the season you're looking back going, oh, here, we should have won those games. Like, draw it at home the first game of the season. We dropped silly points against Dundalk a couple of times. Just, I don't know, maybe I am definitely getting ahead of myself. Getting way too ahead of myself. And it doesn't happen that when I'm in work constantly and I go to places, it's, oh, 5 points clear, when he's gonna bottle it. And I'm going, yeah. Oh, if it does happen, hopefully it's sooner rather than later, because a Shell title challenge, I don't think the old ticker could take it. Speaking of both those games, it's obviously, we're lucky enough in the way the fixtures have fallen, you know, we're back to back home games over the Easter weekend. If you do buy there's a bundle online. I know there's a bit of confusion over this. You know, people are saying, oh, you're buying the bundle, but you're not actually saving money. The reason that bundle option is on the website is because if you buy the bundle ticket, so that's ticket for the Dundalk and the Derry games together, you get entered into a draw. So it's for basically a bumper price. It's pretty much a full shells kit out. So do get your tickets if you've got any friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, aunties, uncles, anyone who you think might enjoy it. Get them in, get them involved. They could possibly kit themselves out for the season. I know all the home tickets for the next five home games are all up on the website already. My boss has bought five for himself and his brothers. Another fellow at work's bought a couple. So if you know of anyone looking to go to home games, tell them to get on and get their tickets now, because they're going to be like gold dust when it comes around, and everyone will be riddled with, anyone got a spare ticket? Anyone got a spare ticket? So get them now while you can. I'm not actually too sure whether Friday is the debut of the new terracing, the safe part you can stand on either side of the riverside, but we actually got a question while I'm here. We'll take this. Ryan R, and then a lot of numbers. Sorry, I'm not reading out all those numbers. I can't see them. But he wants to know, what's the story with the area where the Ballybock end meets the riverside? He said, surely those areas aren't going to have people in them when we play Bowls, Rovers, etc. The answer is, I don't know. I haven't got a clue. I'd probably be surprised that there's people there, to be totally honest. But yeah, I can't give you a proper answer on that either way. But it'd be nice at a moment just to have that bit of extra space across the riverside and try and cram a few extra people in into the ground.
Yeah, it's going to look nice in, what's it, July, when we're playing in Europe and it's all packed out. Yeah, it's going to look great. And it just shows how the club, the upward trajectory that club is currently on. It's really good to see. And yeah, looking forward to seeing them full flow.
Then, actually, you know what, while we're on facilities, Ryan Marin asked, what was the lads' favourite singing section out of Riverside, the new stand, or Section E? Ben?
That's a tough one. I think I probably would have seen more and spent more time in the new stand, so I think that's probably where I'll have to go. But look, obviously in recent years seeing the Riverside, and just even as you said at the start, there's two lads with bibs and high vis on the pitch recording you. I'm the other fella. So even just being like there to experience that, and like the noise, the chants, everything, it's just been incredible. But I think just from my youth, I'll have to go with probably some of the new stand stuff. Adam, what you reckon?
I love the Riverside. I love being in the gantry and just as the goal's gone in and hearing the chants just after.
Yeah, it's class.
I love the Riverside, and it creates great atmosphere. It garners a good, you know, noise and stuff. So yeah, I'll go with the Riverside.
It depends. If you're going for pure noise, Section A is probably the best, just because of the low roof. It's class. The Riverside recently has just become like Mecca. It's just, it's class. The best home stand in the league by a country mile. But yeah, I'd probably have to go new stand as well. Like those European games, standing in the front row at new stand. Remember one game, I think it was Glentoran at home, maybe. Somebody would be able to correct me on that. The lads did a display with all the smoke bombs, and my snots were blue, green, and yellow for weeks and weeks after it. Yeah, no, I'd probably say new stand. That front row, me and my dad, my brothers, all stood there seeing some amazing goals and moments from there. So I would imagine, yeah, I definitely go with new stand. Ben, you mentioned there that you're one of the lads in the yellow bibs with a camera that's on the pitch after games trying to capture all that footage. Yourself and Sean, you're a double act getting on there and getting all those. I mean, they're amazing scenes. As I said, there's been plenty of them so far. So I think Sean's been a bit spoiled with the start he's had. But Sean did send us a voice note just to give us a bit of detail on his role and what he's doing in the club at the moment. So here's Sean Porter.
Hi, lads. How's it going? Sean here. I'm the new content and social media executive here at Shelburne. I'm delighted to have joined Shelburne and complement the already fantastic team. I'll be working closely with Darren and on match days, Owen, Andy, Steve, Ben and Reggie. So throughout the year, I'll be creating content, a mixture of long form and short form content. Some examples have been after matches to capture the excitement of the Talca experience. We focused on the community work and we plan to shed a light on other work that goes on behind the scenes. We are also hoping to capture content of both the men and women's teams throughout the year and capture the journey of what is promising to be a very exciting time here at Shelburne. If you have any suggestions that you would like to see on social media, feel free to text in. I'm always open for engaging content ideas you might like. And if you see me around Talca and want to be on camera, feel free to come over and say hi. You can text in here or my email is sean.porter@shelburnefc.ie. That's sean.porter@shelburnefc.ie. Really looking forward to creating content this year, lads. Talk to you soon.
Sean there, the latest to join this madhouse, we probably have to call it. Complete and utter madhouse. We haven't actually even talked about the team for Friday. What we go with, what we wouldn't go with. I'd probably say my biggest maybe headache would be that centre forward position. Like Matty Smith was brilliant as kind of that extra midfielder, extra number 10, whatever he was. I think he played about 10 different roles on at the Pats game. But Ads, can you see any or many changes from the Pats game?
I'd go unchanged. I don't think there's... if it's not broken, don't fix it. I think you chat about it last week as well, didn't you, about kind of Shell's best 11. I think the one that line out against Pats probably is our best 11. I think balance-wise and, you know, just pure nuisance going forward, like the space that Bourne and Jarvis get with Smith in midfield, as you're saying, and obviously Boyd in front causing havoc. I think that's our best side. So I think provided everyone's fit, that's the one you go with.
Ben?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much spot on. I think you saw the way that 11 dealt with Pats, and Pats are a good side, so there's no doubts about that being our strongest 11, I don't think. I think Matty Smith in that deeper role kind of gave him the opportunity to throw himself around a little bit more. Do you love watching Matty Smith just bash into people?
Yes, I do.
I think he did that quite well. I think that is probably our strongest 11, and provided everyone's fit, that's the 11 you go with. But look, that's not to say the quality isn't there. Like, that's very harsh on John O'Sullivan, John Martin. Like, they've been incredible since coming in. They've been really good this season when they've been called upon. So it is harsh, but I suppose that's the point of having a squad. That's the point of depth. You're able to introduce these lads and you're not minimizing the quality in your starting 11. So yeah, I think that's what you have to go with.
The only change, I think, maybe could see Friday, not a change of personnel, but a change in maybe the shape. There's probably not a need for Matty Smith to be like that extra kind of midfielder, kind of the way he was dropping in with Coyle and Lunny. Don't think we'll see as much of that Friday, because hopefully we'll be controlling the game. So hopefully it'll free Matty Smith up, get up into that final third, and play off the big man again. Boydy, I got a lot of messages in about Sean Boyd and his performance in Inchicore. He was majestic. I didn't actually realise at the time that he got the 2 assists. Yeah. That got lost on me somehow. So I just think he's going to be just a complete nuisance for people. I think people focus on him more, like in terms of centre halves. They'd be trying to smother him up. All that's going to do is create space for Jarvis, Burt, Matty Smith, even Coyle and Lunny making those runs, 2 fullbacks bombing on. So yeah, I think we could cause Dundalk major problems. I'm only short of starting a Justice for Boydy campaign. And I know people will say, deserves his reputation. But when I watch the Pats game back, some of the fouls he's been blown up for are just...
They're
just not fouls. They're just not fouls at all.
They've been given purely based on reputation.
Yeah.
Any other player, they wouldn't be given against them. I realised that because obviously I was sick. I watched it from home. And I realised that watching it from home, because obviously I have the benefit of going back. Like, that is ridiculous. How is he blowing his whistle there? But justice for Sean Boyd.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to start something. Get some kind of a... put his name on the front of a jersey, maybe. might be the right way to go. Look, again, I know the Derry game seems very far away, so probably the only real question around that one that we could answer now is, Adam, do you see many changes from Friday to Monday?
So I'm just thinking there as we're chatting about it, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw changes from the Pats game on Friday for the Dundalk game, which theoretically speaking is probably the easier of the two, and then maybe our best starting 11 on Monday against Derry. I was thinking maybe that, but I do imagine there being a good few changes. Yeah, I think Duffer's been known for doing that as well, hasn't he? So I know rhythm is key and stuff like that, but I do think that there'll definitely be a few changes regardless of what starting 11 starts on Friday to Monday. There will be a few coming in now.
I hadn't actually thought about it that way, Adam, that, you know, maybe not, look, going to sound very disrespectful, but treating Dundalk as the kind of the lesser team nearly. I know that's a terrible way to put it and could definitely be left with egg on my face there, but I never really thought of it that way of, you know, going with, you know, maybe the likes of a John O'Sullivan who hasn't started the last couple of games could come in and go about it that way. Be interesting. I think it'd be very, very interesting. Friday will tell an awful lot maybe as well about where people are in the squad at the minute. We got a message last week and we just didn't get a chance to get to it. A lot of people are asking about Keith Ward. Like, what's your opinions on him? Like, you know, he hasn't really been... Has he featured in a league game yet?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Like, is that... What do we reckon? Like, you think there's maybe... As far as I'm aware, there's no injury issue or anything like that. Is it just a, you know, horses for courses and he'll come good eventually? Or what are we saying?
I think he does a lot off the pitch for them. I'd imagine. I think I was standing at the corner flag for the game against Galway, and God bless him, he ran after the linesman, I think, for the whole game. Paragon. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I'd imagine that's kind of something that they know about. Like, and he ran up and down the line. He was giving them encouragement, like the defense and stuff. So I'm not saying that that's what he's there for, but that's what he provides when he doesn't play. So I do think he's still adding to the squad without actually performing at the minute. But you'd imagine he might get a few minutes either against Dundalk or Derry. I wouldn't be surprised if he started against Dundalk, just given the fact that it's his former club.
Yeah, I think we spoke, Ben, was it last week, about not needing any more 1895 podcast members having feuds with players anymore. But I think me and Keith Ward might have to have an issue at some stage. Do you know who we likened me to, Ben?
Who?
Andy Myler. No, Ben. Adam. Andy Myler's a lot older than me. A lot older than me. I know Graham Watson always tells me I look like I've had a hard life. Which, look, I'm not going to argue, but Jesus Christ, Andy Myler. Andy Myler, my God. Anyway, look.
Maybe we'll see how that pans out. Falling ground duty.
I'm bleeding hope not. don't want that either. Andy Myler. I'd love to say it's a bad shout, but I don't know if I can. To be totally honest. Right, couple of more listener questions. Let me just dig these out here. Bear with me for a second. Andy Myler. It's terrible.
Duty, you know me. I've gotten a bad shout in the past, so I'll back you. I'll back your beef.
Oh, you're going to dig up old wounds, Ben?
No, I'm not. I'm going to leave it.
Jack, I presume it's Jack McGovern, wants to know, Jason Byrne or Glenn Crow?
Jason Byrne.
Yeah, Jason Byrne.
Yeah, a little bit out of your era, gents, I think, but Glenn Crow just never felt right to me. It just never felt right. None of them did. Bobby Ryan, Colin Hawkins, they all came together. It just felt a bit weird. So yeah, Jason Byrne. Sean O'Kelly asked on Instagram, if we didn't have Duff as the manager, who would you want in the Shell's hot seat at the moment? Oh, now that's a good question. I like that one. And I purposely didn't give us that question beforehand, because I want to see what's kind of the first thing that comes to your heads.
I just crawl into my bed and cry if you didn't have the manager. God, that's a horrible question to even think about.
Joey O'Brien.
Oh, yes. Funny, actually, on that, Christian C, again, and a lot of numbers. People have numbers in their Twitter and Instagram handles for some reason. He asked, are we in danger of losing Joey O'Brien in the near future with how successful we've been?
Unless he knows something we don't. I don't imagine we are. I don't know.
Yeah, your shit storm is not welcome on the podcast.
Don't be gaslighting us, please.
Yeah, I know we want questions and comments in, but Jesus, give us a break. Things are going well. I couldn't say it just because it might be a bit too soon for him. He probably has a good thing going at the moment, kind of just going about his business. Everyone speaks so highly of him. So, no, hopefully not. Hopefully none of the staff are going anywhere anytime soon. That would be ideal.
Who would you have, Steve?
Oh, I would have Jim Crawford.
Yeah, I was going to say Crawford or Joey Ryan was mine.
Yeah, because, like, to be realistic, you know, I do think Jim Crawford is a realistic one going forward. I worried a bit when Bowles sacked Devine that they might have gotten Jim, but he obviously wants to see out the qualifiers. Yeah. Where Marlon Reynolds, actually, an interesting one. What do we make of that?
Yeah, I like that as well. Obviously, he has, you know, passed Wills, hasn't he, with Morrow. So, actually, for them, I think it's a good appointment. He would have been another on the list that would have been pointing towards, you know, this is all La La Land stuff, though. This I hope.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know?
I have to say, when I seen Bowles announced, I went, ah, oh, shit. That's a decent one. I was hoping to go for a Vinnie Perth or some other bluffer like that, but...
The only one sinking ship down a bit quicker.
Yeah. Right. It's almost time for our first division 11s. A man who will be nowhere near first division 11 anytime soon is Sean Boyd. He was kind enough to send us a voice note. So the unmistakable tones of Sean Boyd.
How's it going, lads? Sean Boyd here. Just said I'd send on a little voice note to keep us all in the loop and let you know how things have been going. Obviously, we haven't had a game in a couple of weeks since we played Pats, which was a great result, a great performance. I thought we dominated the game for 70 minutes and defended really well when we had to. You know, there was bodies on the line and some really, really good performances in there. So it was obviously a lot of positive to take from that. And of course, it was 5 wins in a row, which is some feat, to be fair, in this league. It's, you know, it can be so difficult to put wins together because everyone can beat everyone. So, you know, to win 5 in a row, it's been absolutely brilliant. But, you know, it's been a good start, but that's all it is. Obviously, we've got 2 really tough games coming up in Dundalk and Derry. And, you know, all eyes are on Dundalk, I suppose. We're going to have to take every game as it comes and just prepare as best we can. We had an in-house friendly amongst ourselves there on Friday and then had the weekend off. So the game was tough. The in-house game was tough. You know, they can be really hard, really competitive. You know, there's a bit of needle about it, which is, you know, absolutely brilliant for us players. Everyone got through it. So, you know, we're all just looking forward to Friday and seeing how we can do in this game. It's you know, one we're really looking forward to. It's back in Talca, which is, you know, everyone wants to play in Talca. It's great to get the fans out, and, you know, we're just really looking forward to, you know, seeing how we get on over the weekend. It could be a huge weekend for us, so we just got to stay concentrated, stay at it, and, you know, keep going, keep listening to the staff, and keep helping each other out, and, you know, with the help of the fans, it could be a really, really special weekend. So hope all's well with all of yous, and I'll see you soon.
This is the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC. The Reds are at home this week, and we want to see you there. Tickets for our next home game against Dundalk are on sale now from shelburnefc.ie.
Gents, it's time. It's time. We'll go position by position.
Dude, I went 4-4-2 because I assumed you'd go 4-4-2.
No. No, I'm not 4-4-2. I've gone for something a little bit. Darren McKealy would be sickened by the kind of formation I've gone with. But the only rules were they had to have played for the Reds in the first division. They were the only rules. As I say, there's nearly like two eras of the first division because there was that initial when we went down, and then there was when we had come up and gone back again in those particularly grim days in the mid 2010s. But I based mine off how well they played or how effective they were for us at the time they played for us. Did you just go with something similar?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Yes, right. Happy days. At least we're all singing on the same hymn sheet. Right, let's go. Goalkeepers. Ben, hit me first.
This is a toss-up between Dean Delaney and Brendan Clark, and I actually went for Brendan Clark.
Oh.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
I know. It's controversial, but I didn't want to be the same as everyone else. So,
In fairness, it was the least... There was probably the least options for it.
Yeah.
Like, straight away when I thought keeper, Adam, I don't know about you. We'll get to your one now in a sec, but I just thought Dino and... Clarkey, there wasn't really, no one else really came into my head. Sorry, Skins, but talking about gaslighting now. Don't start. Ben, I was texting you earlier. I couldn't believe how few games Skins played for the Reds.
Yeah,
he only made like 15 appearances or something like that. I think that's mental. I thought he played way more than that.
I was the same because obviously I tried to do as much research as I could and you threw it into the group chat asking how many appearances and I knew the answer so I just threw it in anyway, but yeah, it was genuinely a surprise. I felt like I've seen him more, but yeah, maybe it's just because I've seen him more in recent years.
Yeah, maybe so. Recency bias. Adam, who's your goalkeeper?
I've gone Dean Delaney.
Oh, so.
I'm kind of paranoid. It was either Dino or Clarkey, wasn't it? So, Clarkey's like great player. He done really well with us, and he's doing well now with Galway, isn't he? So, you know, he has that longevity, I suppose. But Dean Delaney gave me a pair of goalie's gloves in like, I don't know, 2009 or 2010. So, he shades it for me.
Magic. I went Clarkey as well, purely because, the difference. In that team that got promoted in, what was that, 2021, wasn't it? We got promoted, yeah. The difference in the team when Lewis Webb was dropped and Clarkey came in was just like night and day. We were a totally different team when Clarkey came in. So I think for that kind of effect he had, he's my goalkeeper. From here, gents, formation-wise, what have we gone with? Adam, what have you got?
I've gone 4-4-2. Traditional.
Oh, 4-4 fucking two. And Ben, you're on the same boat.
I've also gone 4-4-2. I feel like just even from being in school when you're picking teams with your mates, you always go 4-4-2.
Yeah, it's probably fair. Right, Adam, hit me with your back four.
I've gone Gerard Wilson, Luke Bourne, Stephen Paisley, and Lorcan Fitzgerald.
Paisley. Now that's it. That's one of those like forgotten Reds where you go, oh, I actually remember he was incredible in the cup final.
Yeah, that's
he was his man of the match, I think, in the cup final, was he?
Yeah, he did.
He might have been, yeah. He was unbelievable. Paisley, that's a fucking great show.
Mm.
Yeah, that's. I'm going to presume across the board here where Lukey Burns in all of our teams.
I have the same back four as Adam, except for my right back is different.
Oh,
interesting. Who's your right back?
This is an absolutely mental shout, but it's just someone I remember being really consistent in really bad teams, and it's Adam O'Connor.
Well,
yeah, he just missed out on mine, actually.
Wow,
he's an honourable mention on my one. He, as you say, Ben, he was just a solid, you know. A solid kind of 6-7 out of 10 every week. Never disgraced himself. Reds captain for a while as well, if I remember right, yeah.
I remember him playing a really good game against Ipswich in a friendly. I think Mick McCarthy was manager.
Mick McCarthy was the manager, yeah, I remember that.
He was a captain in a really bad side. And I think
Ben's correct.
He's so consistent. So, yeah, that's a great show, Ben.
That's so the we've only got.
Go on, Ben. Sorry.
No, that is the only difference in my back four with ads. I think that probably shows our similarity in age.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. So, Adam, your back four again: J.R. Wilson, Lukey, Stephen Paisley, and Lorcan Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Then you're the same. Swap out Paiso for. Swap out J.R. Wilson for.
Yeah.
Let's see. I've gone with a five. Ooh, it's an interesting formation, I have to say. Bit of a, we're going to get technical now. Bit of a box midfield.
Here we go.
How much time did you have to do this thing?
It's so much time. I got so invested in this. It was unbelievable. But I actually have a back three / back five, depending. My three centre backs, Lukey Byrne. And here we go. I have a feeling I'm going to get stick for these two. Derek Prendergast.
Oh, well, huh?
And Ali Gilchrist is my back three.
Ali Gilchrist,
keep in mind, we're going off how good they were when they played for us. Ali Gilchrist was unbelievable in that season we got promoted in 2021. And I was raging that he left.
He was. I actually just hearing his name. I don't know how when I was researching this. I didn't come across him, but obviously I wasn't looking hard enough. He was amazing.
Any time I hear Ali Gilchrist's name, I just think of Owen Smith going, for fuck's sake, Ali. that's all I ever think of. But yeah, that's my back three. Lukey, Dale Prendergast, and Ali Gilchrist. Prendergast, of course, was up in the commentary box last year, if I remember right, on one stage. I actually think he could still be playing. I think he could still be playing for Bangor or somebody like that in the Leinster Senior League, if I remember right, but that's my back three. I'll stand by it. Prendergast might be a bit of a wide shout, but he was absolutely brilliant in 2019. And then with two wing backs / fullbacks, J.R. Wilson on one side and Lorcan Fitz on the other side.
Yeah.
I think pretty solid. Solid overall. Right, that takes us into midfield. So since you two have gone, you know what? I'll shoot first on this one. So my box midfield, here we go. We ready for this? So my two in the middle as a bit more conservative midfielders, Davey Mack and Kev Dawson.
Great show.
And my two in front of them as like two number 10s, or I don't know, the kids would call them inverted wingers, I think. Dave Cassidy and Ryan Brennan are my two playing off a striker. Bit out there. I know Casso, a few people were a bit annoyed at him when he left. Yeah, I think he said a few things after he was gone, but just for his impact and how good he was in 2008, 2009, he's a shoe-in for me. And then, like, Davey Mack and Kev Dawson didn't play for a long, long time, but the effect they had on the team when they were here was brilliant, I thought. Davey Mack netted 26 times for the Reds. I was shocked by that. That's so high.
Was he not giving out about Jack Moylan's hat-trick, saying he was the last Red to score a hat-trick?
He did say something like that. Last Red to score a hat-trick
in the first division.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Davey Mack was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable for the Reds. Kev Dawson the same.
Kevin Dawson's penalty in Inchcorsty.
Folklore.
Yeah, great.
Absolute folklore. Unbelievable, Dawson was. So yeah, there we go. That's my fancy pants midfield. Ryan Brennan speaks for himself, doesn't he? 24 in 75 games or something like that, I think he got. His shithousing alone, I think, would have gotten him into the team. He was unbelievable in that 2021 season. He was just unplayable at times. And then he gave me my favourite meme or short video clip, whatever you want to call it, and it's the Ian Morris chuckle. One of my personal favourites after the Cork game, the head on a plate job. So that's my midfield. Ben, kick us off. What's your midfield for? Presume you're two wingers and two centre midfielders. Old school as anything.
Yeah, I've gone with Ryan Brennan, Davey Mack, Kev Dawson and Casso.
Jesus, how are you fitting them in? Who's playing out wide there?
Oh, I'm going to stick Casso out wide. I think he could do it.
You've taken liberties here.
I have, yeah.
That's not a functional midfield.
It'll function. I'll make sure it functions. I've just gone with best. I was told best, and these are the best I remember. The only one that narrowly misses out for me is Shane Farrell was the other one that I was thinking of, but I just didn't know who I could drop. So I think he's an honourable mention duty, as you said, but that's what I've gone with.
Yeah. We'll get to the honourable mentions at the end. Don't worry. Mr. Leonard, in the trio midfield.
I've gone Conan Bourne, David Cassidy, Ryan Brennan, and Denzel Fernandez.
Oh, Denzel. That is a left field show.
Is it just for his chance?
Just for his chance, but I feel like, I don't know, I think it was a game against Cove and Tolka, and he just ran right. He done really well. And he had that. He had loads of injuries, didn't he, during the COVID season? And I feel he never really recovered from that. And it disappoints me because I think he's a very good footballer. But yeah, I think the other three speaks for themselves. I think Conan Bourne in that cup final season was immense. I think Matthew's probably done him in a bit sometimes by not giving him as much game time as he should have. But when he played, he usually scored or assisted. And then look at Ryan Brennan and Casso. You've said enough about them. They're fully deserving of it as well.
Yeah, it's, you know, you can't argue with it. I remember when Denzel and obviously Jay's Cabia, wherever you are, or whatever way you want to pronounce it. I remember when Jay's went abroad, talking to Jason McGuinness, and Jason McGuinness said, "They forget about Jay's. Denzel is the one. He's the one that will have the future in the game abroad or wherever." And as you said, as he just constantly seemed to be injured. I know he had an injury he had an issue with a concussion and stuff like that, but sad. Is he even playing at the moment?
I don't think he's ever recovered.
He's out injured.
Yeah.
Is he?
I think, didn't he sign for a treaty last year, maybe?
Yeah.
I think I remember saying that, but as far as I know, he's not playing anywhere. Sad, because like that, as you say, as he was lightning, he was brilliant, tricky winger. Didn't he have a great moment down in Longford, or am I imagining that?
No, he did, yeah.
Denzel and Jay's both, I think they both scored in that game. But yeah. No, they're solid midfields. I mean, we had some good players. Good players. Right. Give me your front twos.
Philly Hughes and Mikey O'Connor.
Big Mickalene O'Connor. My last memory of Mikey O'Connor playing for the Reds is him just shouting fizzy apple juice every time you see him. And his antics after the last game of the season, which, as I mentioned last week, if we ever start a post-Watershed podcast, Mikey would be able to feature on that heavily. Have a pair of Mikey O'Connor's boots in my dad's shed, actually, randomly enough as well. Were you there for that, Ben? He was just giving out all his gear after the last game of the season. Yeah. Just giving everyone his gear. He was giving out his tracksuit bottoms and the whole lot. But yeah, Mikey O'Connor, he's another one. You forget how good he was in that season. He was so effective. Similar mold to Boydie, probably, in that kind of. That's why I thought he might have had a role to play. There's a few of those kind of around that time when Duffer came in, you know, Ryan Brennan and Mikey and all that kind of stuff that didn't kind of make the grade at the time. No, a lot of people were not happy with it, but look, it's all worked out well. Mikey's playing over in the Swedish third tier or something like that he's in at the moment, and Ryan Brennan, of course, still doing the business in Drogheda. But Mikey O'Connor, I have a list of honorable mentions here and Mikey O'Connor isn't even on it. Don't know how I skip past him, but you know, I would have liked to see Philly Hughes and Mikey O'Connor up front together. They would have been a perfect partnership, little and large.
Carnage. It would have been.
I would have been. Would have been complete mayhem.
Yeah.
Ben, hit me.
I think Philly Hughes has to be in there. That's who I've gone with. And the partner Philly Hughes, I've gone Kieran Kilduff.
Just before we get into this, anyone who doesn't have Philly Hughes in their best Reds First Division 11, hand back your season ticket. Because you have the clue. Kieran Kilduff again, he's another one. He's not even, he is actually on my honourable mentions, I tell a lie, because I was going to ask you what your favourite goal was in the first division. We'll come to that if we can get something off the top of our heads. But I always remember Kilduff's overhead away to, wasn't it at Lone? One of those like slow-mo overheads that like there's no scissor motion in it at all. It's just like falling backwards and throwing a leg at it. Yeah, Kieran Kilduff also had a great song, actually.
Yeah. Great job.
And yeah, and my, like, one of my few good memories of the 2020 season, wasn't that the one that started down in Cork?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kilduff got netted the winner right at the end. Magic. Magical scenes. I tell you what, I've obviously gone Philly Hughes as my centre forward with Casso and Ryan Brennan in behind. We have been blessed with some good players, really, haven't we? Like, we really have. Now, there's been some absolute shite as well.
I was about to say, there's been some absolute howlers. We could probably do a team on the bad players as well. All due respect, you know.
All due respect, nothing, Adam. We've had some unbelievable goods play for this club.
Oh, God.
Some of them tried very hard and were just brutal. Some of them didn't try hard and were brutal. Some of them are good players but just didn't try hard. But look, that's another podcast. Any honourable mentions for anybody?
I think we've covered a lot. I think Kilduff was on my honourable mentions, in fairness. Adam Evans, for his performance in that playoff game against Drogheda.
Yeah, another one, actually, as I was going to ask, best individual performance you remember from the first division. There is a correct answer.
It's Alan Bourne, isn't it?
It's Alan Bourne. Yeah. Oh, in a playoff against Drogheda. Never got nominated for the Ballon d'Or for it.
Oh, God, yeah, what a game. We were very close as well. That finished on penalties, didn't it, in Tolkien? Like, fuck.
Yeah, did indeed.
Jesus, wept.
We two red cards in that game as well, didn't we?
Yeah, do you remember who? James English and
Rhys McIntyre, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Extremely forgettable red. Very, very forgettable.
Good left foot, though. I think he had a comb over as well. I think that's what I remember.
A good left foot and a comb over. Standards.
that's how low the standard was, I think, at the time.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, some awful duds. I have a few honourable mentions, actually. Again, if you were looking at it another way and, like, you know, just going by the careers players had, like, Willow obviously would have been in it because he came back for a little while. Mark Rutherford, Sane, Richie Baker, Dave Crawley, they all came back for kind of short spells in the first division. Mark Rutherford probably actually the most effective. He probably harsh to miss out on everyone's team, but there's plenty of others. Like, Kev Doherty was immense for us in the first division. Daisy Brennan, I don't know whether you even remember him, but the skipper for the very forgettable 2008. Ben, you mentioned Shane Farrell there already. Giller is another one. Giller, I reckon, I think a lot of people, and do get your 11s into us. Get them in. Reach out to any of us on Instagram or Twitter, wherever you want to get us. We're easy to find. Get your 11s in, because I know everyone will kind of have a different swing on this. I know a lot of people will insist on Giller being in there. I just think he narrowly missed out. Like, there's others. I know I slagged him off a bit a couple of weeks ago. Dylan Conley was phenomenal in the first division for us as well.
Was he not our player of the year one year? I think he was.
Dave O'Sullivan came from Longford and just kept scoring goals. Couldn't stop scoring. He's another one. Have you got any honourable mentions, lads, who maybe narrowly missed out, or just lads that you remember for whatever reason?
There's one that always sticks out in my head, and it's one year we had, I think it was Ryan Robinson, and everyone was worried that he was leaving and going to Everton. That was a big rumour at the time, and I just remember that sticking in the back of my head. Was like, what actually happened? Like, I wonder if he's still playing or what the story is. But he was really, really good when he came in. Like, highly regarded.
Yeah, he plays in the Leicester Senior League for, last time I seen, he was playing for Colestor Donnycarney. That was the last I seen of him. So, yeah, he is still playing. Gas, how players can have that kind of, look, Leicester Senior League still a good level, but you could probably call it a fall from grace that he can slip, you know, so far in such a short amount of time. Ads, any other honourable mentions, cult heroes, personal favourites?
Lee Morta.
of I beat the fan.
Yeah, that's the one. And Darren Tinley, I think brought in by Johnny McDonald, was it? He played Ga. I don't think he ever played football at any level. Came in. He did all right, I think. Him and Lee Murta, I think, had a few games together. They're my last memory of the misery. But yeah, two great lads. I hope.
My last in memory of the misery.
What a way to end it all. Yeah.
Who would manage your teams?
Ian Morris.
Morrow, surely.
Yeah, you'd have to, wouldn't you? Two promotions. A close second is Dermot Keighley, just for all time sake. But yeah, probably has to be Morrow. Morrow, who of course was up in the gantry last home game. I'm getting lost now. This bye week fucking confuses everything. Throws me completely off.
It makes you realise as well how little you have in life that on a Friday night you literally have nothing to do. Sorry, yeah, that could just be me. I do apologize.
No. We're all there, Adam. We've all done it. 5 minutes into a game and you're going, why am I here?
I was going to say, what goal sticks out in your memory from the horse vision?
There's a few. I always remember Casso scoring a tap-in away to Limerick down in the old Jackman Park behind the goal. And the Reds, there was no stand in the ground, so the Reds fans were all behind the goal. And it was a tap-in, and he jumped straight into the crowd, like jumped up on the wall, properly into the crowd. It was just in front of their little clubhouse thing. And the old Shells TV, I know that was the Frasers' brainchild. They used to put all the highlights and stuff up before it's time. They used it in the opening. It's Casso on the wall, and he just gets engulfed. The supporters are like locusts, just all jumping on him. And then Fred Davis, the goalkeeper coach, just jumps in on top of it as well. That one probably... The Kev Dawson penal would be one away to Pats in the cup. Davy Mack scoring a penal in the second last game of the season down in Waterford in 08. That would be another one. You asked me for one and I've given you loads. Ben? Let's
keep going. I think Lorcan Fitz in, was 2019?
Yep. Try that.
Yeah, I think just the celebrations, the scenes, everything, like the scenes at the end, Reggie crying. I still have that video saved. It's great whenever I need it. But
need it for what?
To embarrass Reggie, of course. Okay.
Some people are into some weird shit.
Poor Reggie.
He doesn't mind.
Do you remember Stanley's goal out in Cabin Teely?
Yes.
Celebrations after that was that's one that sticks out in my head.
That Cabin Teely game was one of the most eventful Shells games I've been at. Not for what went on the pitch, but for what went on off the pitch. A former media officer in the club getting into a disagreement with. Your man from Cabin Teely was a headbanger. He was a headbanger. And he was knocking on dressing room doors looking for myself and Gav White. bizarre stuff. Absolutely bizarre. But yeah, I remember that stand because I think everyone thought we had a real player. It was like, geez, this lad could be something. And now I'm pretty sure Stan is selling insurance over in the UK somewhere.
What a player.
Unreal. You can't beat it. You cannot beat it. So that's our 11s. So we'll rattle through them quickly, just for clarity's sake. Ben, give me your 1 to 11 quickly.
Clarkey, Adam O'Connor, Luke Byrne, Paisley, Lorcan Fitz, Ryan Brennan, Davey Mack, Kev Dawson, David Cassidy, Philly Hughes, and Kieran Kilduff.
Adam.
Dean Delaney in goal, back four of Gerald Wilson, Luke Bourne, Stephen Paisley, Longford, Sherald. Midfield of David Cassidy, Ryan Brennan, Conan Bourne, Denzel Fernandez, and up front, Philly Hughes and Michael O'Connor.
Such strong teams. My one, Clarkey, back tray of Lukey Byrne, Derek Prendergast, Ali Gilchrist. Two wing backs, J.R. Wilson, Lorcan Fitz, Davey Mack, Kev Dawson, Casso, Ryan Brennan, Philly Hughes. And all those teams are managed by the great Ian Morris. What a pod. A busy one. Couple of little bits of housekeeping. There is a charity game taking place this Saturday. It's down in Haddon Park in Colester. It's in memory of Des McAleenan. So it's a Reds 11 taking on a Des McAleenan 11. That Reds 11 going to feature Owen Heary, Jason Byrne, Lukey Byrne, Lorcan Fitz, Trevor Malloy. Other greats will feature at some stage. So get yourselves down to support if you can on Saturday. It's a bumper weekend. An awful lot going on. Easter weekend, of course. So look, let's pray for a miracle that the Reds are, whatever it is, 9-10 points clear come Tuesday evening. Gents, thank you very much for giving up your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Doody. As always, a pleasure.
Thanks as always, Steve.
And we will, well, I'll see you two on Friday. Up the Reds.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.